Welcome to the Pinecast. It is officially January 25th with 1 week left in the transfer window. So it's time to hold on to your hats because shit's going to get crazy. Right, Joseph?
Yeah. I'm holding on to my chonies right now.
Yeah. So welcoming you to you this Pinecast. Welcoming you to this Pinecast with the familiar Mr. Up the Arse, Joseph, Mr. I Hate Your Club. Say hello, Joseph.
Hello.
And joining us again is also Luis Sao, Mr. SD Goon.
Buenas noches, muchachos. ¿Cómo andamos?
Andamos bien.
Saludándolos acá de la Ciudad de México.
Ciudad de México. Pensé que eres en San Diego, güey.
Ah, sí.
Yeah.
A veces se me olvida.
Close enough, right?
They're close on the map. They're about 2 inches away or something like that on the map.
Depending on which map.
Yeah. It depends on your map. So we've had a lot to go over in the past week. On our last Pintcast, we basically knew that Theo was signing a new deal, but it hadn't been announced yet. So I'm going to leave it to Joseph because he's been waiting a long time for this.
I've been waiting since the summer. I've been really waiting and nervous. I mean, I pretty much giving up on it.
I had given
up on it when the season began, and then I had a little bit of hope. But once we got to January, I thought he was gone. I just thought there was probably so much more money that he'd have been given. Not incredibly an amount more, but there was obviously an amount that he was offered somewhere that he wanted, that his people wanted. And I thought he was gone, but I'm incredibly relieved that he's staying. I'm glad the club signed him. I don't care about the money. To me, it's not an issue. It's a player that we wanted to keep, and we kept him.
I think it's a huge statement for the club. You know, it's more – I mean, obviously, I'm happy because of his development and keep him as a player. He's shown his quality, but it's obviously the – I feel the greater – The greater good achieved by him signing a new contract is the message that it sends about the club. You know, I mean,
right,
we've
that
had,
maybe we'll
had,
finally keep
right,
a player
we've had
that we
too
want
many
to
players,
keep.
Right. We've had too many players leave against our will, you know, kind of forcing our hand. And so this looked like it. And I didn't give up completely, but I had gotten myself ready to it, you know, like
yeah.
That,
well, I mean,
like preparing for a breakup,
why,
you know?
Why shouldn't we prepare ourselves to be left again?
Right, exactly.
It's like the girl that, you know, things are kind of going bad and they're kind of separating themselves and not as available as they normally are. Right. And they're not returning your text right away anymore. You know, that kind of stuff where you think they're kind of just starting to back away a little bit. I was already getting there.
You don't want to RSVP to go to a wedding with them or something?
Right. Like, I wasn't ready to buy a shirt, you know?
Oh, man.
Joseph was coming home with flowers every day.
I was lighting candles, all sorts of stuff. But I mean, I'm really happy. Like I said, I told you before, it's a player we wanted to keep. Money, whatever we paid him, we needed to do what it took to keep our player.
Right, and I think that's...
And I wish it had happened sooner with other players. I'm happy it's finally started, hopefully,
Right, and I mean, a lot of those really weren't 100% in our hands with those negotiations. But, you know, it's just so tough because you never really know.
Some people are just never happy. They're never happy. I mean, they'd have been pissed if we let him go on a free... In the summer, because we lost a bunch of money and we've given a player and 6 years of development on a player that's gone out the window.
Every group of fans has its bad apples, you know.
Absolutely, we got a big group, you know.
Right,
that's
we have one of the biggest, right,
you know,
biggest presences in terms of that, and you know, there's plenty of people that you can't do right by, right? There's no, you know, you're. What is it? You're damned if you do, damned if you don't, you know? It's just – some people just can't be pleased. Some people are just miserable people, so.
Yeah.
It just
– Absolutely. I think it – a lot of it has – the whole situation, the way it played out, was just a big reflection of, I think, our fan base. You got a little bit of everything, you know, as like Joseph said, as January came, you know, August passed, you know, December came up. as the months approached the end of his contract, everyone was becoming very skeptical and negative about it. And can you hear?
I lost you guys. No. We're here, man. Yo.
You guys there?
Yeah, we're here.
I lost you guys for a bit. Sorry about that.
Yeah, it's all good.
It's all good. So as the months approached and everything, everyone became more and more negative, and he was being very, very quiet, as he was probably well advised. It didn't look positive, but I'm glad the club stuck with him, and I'm glad he signed himself. He sees, I think he sees where the club's going in the future. I would smile all around. I can't complain too much about it. Is it true that he's now the highest paid player ever at Arsenal?
I don't know. I doubt that. He might be the highest paid player currently.
He could be. Yeah. He's probably on equal wages with someone.
But I mean,
wasn't Podolski on 90 a week or something like that?
They're all rumors, man.
Yeah, Van Persie was on supposedly more than people thought he was on.
Yeah,
and,
right, I believe
and
that.
Thierry was on quite a bit, and Cesc was on quite a bit
before he left. You know, so.
That's a very interesting figure to me, because going forward now, you know, players who consider themselves of equal quality to Theo, now that's the bar. That's the bar now that we've set at Arsenal. And,
Well, sure.
It's important. It's important because we were so stuck on, you know, figures of 90, 80, 60. We were a little bit stuck in the past, you know, in that regard. And in this modern era, you know, prices have gone up on everything, including footballers. So I think it was important that the club finally broke its duck, so to speak, in that regard. That, you know, it showed a little flexibility in the wage structure. We freed up some wages by loaning out players and stuff. It shows that maybe there's a little bit of a shift in policy, whereas before we were willing to let go of a player. I think we lost, like, Ashley Cole was, you know, let go because of a difference of $5,000 a week or something like that. And we're, you know, and now we're, you know, doing more to hang on to these players. It's important, and it's going to be important going forward now, because any player who performs very well is now knows, you know, that there is a future here. It's not just, you know, get playing time here, develop as a player, and go elsewhere where you'll be paid what you wish to be paid.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, it's a promising development. It's a good thing. It's a good sign. I mean, we are going to have to pay higher wages, like I said, if we want to compete. It's just the fact of the matter. You know, maybe he is on the highest wages that we've had, but it's more indicative of the times. I mean, obviously he doesn't seem to be the player you would, if you look even just upon relatively recent history with Arsenal, you would never imagine him to have been the highest earner, considering there have probably been three players of caliber, you know, in the past, well, while we've been at the Emirates, who would merit higher wages. That's absolutely. You know, there have been three players that are of a class above what Theo is and has been. So,
I mean, there's players now there's probably one or two players that I'd say probably merit higher wages than him right now at the club.
Yeah, maybe so.
Know, let alone in the past. But like I said, it shows a flexibility that maybe the manager before wasn't willing to budge, but the manager himself showed such an effort to hang on to him in particular. Where, I mean, it kind of leaves me questioning, if he went to those lengths to hang on to Theo, why weren't those, you know,
it's a different situation, man.
Every situation has been so different, you know, I mean.
And it's almost like we're always at the short end of the stick in regards to negotiations, you know what I mean? And my only fear with Theo's new contract is that it's a 3.5-year contract. And in 18 months, he's due to sign again.
Well, whatever. It's not a problem right now. He's extended, and we're doing okay. So let's move on to Chelsea. It was, let's just say, a bit of a failure, a bit of a disappointment. I don't know about you guys.
I mean, I'm disappointed at the result, obviously. I mean, I watched the match. I mean, I went back and watched the match again with different outlook on it. And obviously, we were pretty unfortunate with the two goals,
yeah,
and it took us a while to recover, which is understandable when you get down two goals when you don't believe that you should be down two goals. But for the last 10 minutes of that first half, we weren't bad and they weren't great.
Right.
And then we did really well in the second half. It wasn't enough.
It was too little too late.
But tell me how much that Chelsea were so much better than us on that day. They weren't.
No, they weren't particularly like that much
did
better.
Did they finish? Yeah, well, one of them was a penalty difference. That they didn't deserve.
Right.
I mean, it was harsh. He fell.
Yeah.
From the ref's angle, I get why he gave it.
Yeah, I can't argue. You know, here's the thing, that we're not a team, especially in big matches like that, can really afford at the moment to have luck not go our way.
Well, right. We're punished. We're constantly punished for, it seems, every error, which I said that last week. We're punished for every error, and even the ones that aren't our fault, we're punished. Yeah. You know, I mean, back's another step closer to Mata, and maybe he's able to push him off a little bit more. Obviously,
Diaby's poor pass got us into that situation,
you know,
too.
Mata's control was great, and his shot was great. And, you know, but
He took his goal well.
But other than that, I mean, they had some chances. But other than those two chances and goals.
And let's not forget the foul, the Ramirez foul leading up to the goal.
Ramirez,
which was totally missed by Atkinson.
Yeah, that's nothing new coming from him.
Ramirez constantly fouls. He did it all match, and not even a was he finally ever booked? I don't know. I don't know if he was. It was really late.
I don't know. I was angry.
He wasn't.
I was tired.
He had at least 5-6 fouls to his name.
God.
One card.
I did my first, my token one all-nighter.
That was your all-nighter?
Season. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Was your all-nighter?
I know.
Really?
I know. I stayed up. We went to my friend was having a housewarming party. We went to the diner at like 4 in the morning to like kill time. Like I went and ate some breakfast at like 4:30 in the morning at the diner a couple of blocks away from my buddy's place.
Nice.
In Los Feliz. And then, you know, get back to watch the match at 5:30, you know, and then just smacked in the mouth with those two goals so quickly.
Yeah. But I mean, the overreaction, which always happens during and how shit we are. I've gone back and looked, and we weren't shit. We weren't. I mean, we're unfortunate, and sure, I would have loved for us to be able to play that second half in the first half.
Yeah, and the two goals came so quickly. It was almost it completely caught us off. I mean, we shouldn't have been caught in that situation, but sometimes it just the momentum of the game just takes it that way, you know. you said, we weren't completely shit.
And I think part of the reaction we got after was also it's the culmination.
It's just the frustration of the entire year.
It's just the culmination. I mean, but look at just the results this month, right? I mean,
But this was always a tough month.
It was always going to be a tough month, but I mean, it's just on the back of. I mean, yeah, what we had won won our League Cup replay, but what was our league? What's our league form been like? And it just gets to you.
Yeah, you know, it's yes, we need to have a little perspective, and people need to be a little more calm. But I mean, I'm not happy losing, but to constantly say that Wenger needs to be out on every result, or it's either extend him two more years or fire him with every result is just a little bit manic.
I think people have reached that point where any failure is gonna come back to him immediately. Whereas maybe in years past, players were more the target of abuse. I think nowadays, it's more been identified as him being the problem, and so I think that's mainly why supporters react so so up and down to results, and our fans are as inconsistent as our team right now.
They are a fickle bunch.
Yeah, that. There's a little bit. Yeah, I guess fickle's the correct word. I was saying manic, but.
But both apply. I believe both apply. But so, I mean, so in the wake of that match, there were a lot of people quite doomy and gloomy, including several of our friends, you know, who just.
I mean, if you look at our results in this month, I mean, they're not something that's going to make you smile. I mean, if you're only thinking about West Ham, I mean, yeah, but it's a draw, a loss. A 1-0 win to advance in the FA Cup, a loss, and a win in the league.
I mean, that's not not something that's that we're going to showboat about. But, I mean, if you look at our position, we're, what, fifth place? We're a point out of fourth? Is that – am I wrong?
I think we're four points out of fourth.
Okay, 4 points out of fourth. It's not an insurmountable amount of points.
Yeah, I mean, putting everything in perspective, I mean, we're not that far out of things. I mean, losing to Chelsea was kind of significant in the fact that if we could have got a result against Chelsea, it kept third a realistic possibility, right, as long as we could find form. Giving that up doesn't mean that it can't happen anymore, but it's just a whole lot less likely. I mean, as much as any week could do it, it just seems like character. It just kind of is symbolic of our, you know, losing our chance to actually fight for third. So whereas fourth is probably the best we could possibly do. I mean, I know we came back from about this many points back last season to get third, but, you know, it took a collapse and a lot of poor playing by a few of our rivals, which were Chelsea and Tottenham, that played like shit over the course of part of the end of last season. And so it's tough to say, you know, that, I mean, I still think it's all there to be won. I mean, you know, obviously not the league, but the trophy that is finishing in the Champions League place.
Right. I always thought that fourth is where we would finish, and we're still in a pot. We still are possibly fourth.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the season, it's not 4 points is easily made up, especially.
Well, so let's get on to the West Ham match. So we can talk about something exciting, maybe a little bit, something we can enjoy.
Because Carlson's wonder strike from the.
That's exactly what it was, man. Holy smokes!
But matched and topped.
Bettered.
Yeah, bettered by Podolski's.
What a great flick by Jack.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. Gave you know, yeah, flicked it right over because he's been closed down by two players and flicks it over him and. And then they didn't close down to Podolski. Yeah. I guess they've never seen his left foot.
That's the wrong guy not to close down. You know,
you could tell the defender was trying to play. You know, he was trying to play his left foot by trying to push into his right. You know, you could tell the defender was positioning himself for that. But that little half a yard that he left of an opening, he rifled it through it.
Yeah, oh, it's fantastic. Yeah. I watched it about 12 times. I'm sure I'm not the only one.
Yeah, I think this is the first week in a while where I, like, rewound and watched every goal, like, multiple times. I still think – I'm kind of torn as to what I felt the best goal was. Because there's things that I like about them all.
They're all – well, which was great. It was the technique on – all those goals was you know, was something great about each one.
There
absolutely
was good execution on all of them. I mean, obviously, most of the – well, let's see. All right, the first one's kind of a moment of individual brilliance, mostly. The second one was a well-executed set piece.
Yeah.
You know, well, Per throwing that screen, he looked like Pau Gasol.
I know. He said a great pick.
Yeah. Did you like that?
It was a great pick. all gangly and shit. Looked like Pau Gasol trying to –
He didn't quite get it.
He didn't, but he did enough. If you watch Tompkins, I think it was Tompkins that was chasing him. You see him have to like move and slow down. So it did its job.
Just that split second of getting him open. And
yeah, it got him that separation that he needed. I think I liked Santi's goal the most, just because I watched that interchange between Podolski and Giroud.
Right, that he passes it into him. He does that little...
Yeah, and he's been doing a lot lately. Right, and we've watched it. And I actually rewatched that first pass like three or four times because, you know, I was always pretty certain that he intended to play that with the intention of getting a return ball.
Yeah, well, he makes the run right away.
Right, but then watching it slowly, you also watch that he kind of also flicks it up the way you said Jack did. He kind of flicks it up so that the ball gets a little bit of air underneath it so that he can pop it up to him, you know, up and over. Which, I mean, just by watching that, he was so close, it seemed like he would have rolled it to him.
Right.
But he intentionally kind of flicked it. I watched it over and over just to watch that exact little point because it seemed like he popped it up so that he knew it would make it easy to pop it over the defense and right back to him. And then it was such a good – he controlled it well, got that touch, and then Santi had that – wherewithal to like, all right, defender's on my side, you know, bring it back.
And I know. I was when I watched the goal, I was like, I'm not sure my mind ever works that quickly. You know what I mean? Mind to body. I'm not sure my body ever works that quickly. It was great to watch, and the technique and just the all out attack was amazing. And every 2 minutes or so, you see a goal.
And man, and then that Theo goal though, man, just the ball, the pace of the pass, Podolski's pass, and then the finish by Theo was emphatic,
right,
to say the least.
Yeah, the right decision. Yeah. No, just everything. Well, I mean, he's quick on his.
Yeah, and he's become a much better finisher. We've said it over and over again. He's definitely got
16 goals already this season.
He's our top scorer.
He'll most likely hit 20.
Yeah, he should get 20. Joseph has a big shit-eating grin over here, just smiling, talking about his Theo.
How soon
does the kid arrive?
Which kid?
Didn't you order your new Theo kid, or you haven't done that yet?
Oh, no, it's probably going to happen this week. Oh, okay. But, you know, they're giving, you know, they decided to throw in a free name, too, so it all kind of works out.
Oh, what, now buying it late in the season, they
kind of worked the deal out. I finally get to put the red letters on my back.
Oh, there you go.
So.
Isn't that just special?
It will be. I'm looking forward to it. I got my Theo action figure at home, so we are right.
Oh, boy. I don't want to ask any more questions about that.
Yeah. This is getting weird.
Yeah. Weird.
It's not a real doll. It's an action figure.
Anatomically correct?
Life size?
I'll post a picture later.
Sorry, I'm doing the Biodome indicator.
And then who got the last goal?
It was Giroud. Giroud got the second one. Giroud's, I mean, at the near post, man, he can finish there, you know. I can't remember the last, I mean, I suppose Van Persie probably did that pretty well also, but I mean, compared to your average or normal striker, his ability at the near post to get those near post headers and flicks, and especially with those, like, he leads with his foot, you know, and sometimes it's his, you know, it's his left foot, like, leading, going the kind of the unnatural direction, you know, hitting with the outside of his foot. They're not easy finishes, not at all. Like, both of his goals are not easy finishes. We've seen plenty. We've seen him miss those chances also.
Right.
But, you know, he took his chance as well. Obviously, you know, a lot of people talk about the fact that he doesn't seem to be. A lot of people argue he's not a good enough center forward to be our star striker, which I can understand. But what are our real expectations for him coming in? Obviously, the perfect situation would have been him coming off the bench most of the time, or getting the odd start, playing behind Van Persie, and the depth of our front line would have been great in that sense. But, you know, we're never going to buy a ready-made Van Persie.
Right.
Right, we have no hope of that.
Right, we said that at the beginning. We're going to buy people who hopefully will become great. That's what we do.
I mean, there's no Falcao, there's no Cavani, as much as I wish to dream. But you know, that's just not going to happen. So
I said it after the Chelsea game that, you know, we used to have a striker that wins games like that, and maybe, you know, Giroud is a decent striker, but he might not be that guy yet, but I mean, I certainly can't complain about his, you know, the output we've got from him in his first half of the season. I mean, what is it, 11 goals now and
nine
something
assists.
Like 11 assists,
11 and nine.
I mean, you can't scoff at that. You know, it's his first year in the Premier League. A lot of players have talked about how much more difficult it is to play in the Premier League than any other league in the world. And there has to be an adaptation period for him, you know.
Well, you know, the other thing is with the guy that's is not at his full potential, and none of our front three are at their full potential, really, you know. On their, right. At least, you know, look at the three that started against West Ham. None of those three are. Maybe they're complete. How good they're gonna be, and what you don't get with guys that are still.
Yeah,
we're still getting better. Is that we don't get consistency, and that's what. Although the numbers speak well, we do have plenty of zero and nothing created.
Potential. And I think in terms of closest to reach the potential is, I think Podolski is about as good as he's going to be.
Yeah, I would say he's the closest.
But
to his,
You know, it's his acclimation. It's his, you know, getting used to the league. So, yeah, he can play better within the league. Obviously, just I mean, but right. I mean, he's about at the peak of his skills.
He's not going to get much better.
He's not going to get much better. But I mean, as we've seen, and I was listening to the post-match interview with Olivier, you know, talking about his understanding so much better with the players, and we're starting to see an understanding that wasn't really there. You know, some of those interchanges and some of those passes. Like, I mean, there is a better. They seem to be clicking a little bit better. But the problem is that we have these matches. And then we'll go and
do the
same fucking thing and not get a shot on target till the 80th minute. And that's what really blows the mind. Not losing or not getting a good result, but just the fact that we revert back to not being able to do much.
Well, and then a lot of that comes from the midfield, which we've talked about over and over this year.
And
I think in the Chelsea game that I complained about the whole game, and we did differently in the West Ham game, is going forward out of defense, moving the ball through midfield into the strikers. If you see those three assists that Podolski had, the ball was headed to him quickly. The pass was made fast. Jack made the goal for Theo's goal. Jack took one touch, and he freed up, freed him up, and he made the run. The second pass, the pass from Olivier, it was a quick 1-2. The ball was moving fast. You know, that's our strength, and we don't play to that. We're flat. We're sideways. You know, no movement from the strikers.
Well,
and that's
we needed more dynamic movement through the midfield.
We have, but we also got played differently. I mean, look at what Chelsea did. I mean, they sent Ramirez right after us. I mean, right away. The tactics played into that. And, you know.
And Fat Sam and tactics don't really go
right
together.
And so his tactics were fantastic.
My favorite moment was his assistant after the third goal. His assistant writing down some stuff, trying to explain to him, and they look up and Theo scores.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, right.
Like, yeah, how about we do this? Oh, fuck.
I know. Every time you watch the highlights, you see that, like, looking up, oh, shit. Right?
What just happened?
They've just been hit by two goals already, right? In the past 5 minutes, they didn't know what the fuck to do.
Yeah, I mean, they did. They allowed us a lot more time in the midfield, and they allowed Ramsey to help facilitate that from deep. You know, we're not always allowed to do that with some of the tactics that the other clubs have been employing against us.
I think one player in particular we need to talk about is obviously a lot of people noticed that Ramsey had a much better game this match. I saw his glowing praise, and I watched the match expecting some virtuoso performance. But, I mean, he played pretty well. It didn't blow me away. But the thing is that I think one of the most frustrating things with Ramsey is the fact that we know he can play well. You know, we've seen him do it in spurts. You know, I think his one of his best matches of the season was City, right, earlier in the season.
Yeah, City away.
But it's also it's not a coincidence that he played better when played in something closer to his actual position. You know, like I understand the fault of playing him out of position and whatnot, but he moved the ball well. He was extremely efficient, which has always been a big critique of his, especially this season. I mean, what is it? Something he only misplaced like three passes or something.
Yeah, that was like a 97.
Yeah, he had like a 97%. I mean, he had a great game statistically moving the ball around. And from playing deep, he was kind of disciplined and played his role well. And you look at the build up to a couple. I think of at least one of those goals, right? I believe the quick movement from the back came from a Ramsey ball to Wilshere, who quickly turned and then found Podolski streaking through on the left. I think this was for Giroud's goal or something, like the last one, I believe. But it was a quick movement. It was Ramsey to Wilshere, then Wilshere threaded it through to Podolski, and then there was Giroud coming in. There was that quick. I mean, it moved pretty quickly, and he's known to be one of the guys that kind of slows us down very often. And you can still see that sometimes. He likes to do that little spin pivot move and turn back, go the other direction, right, which sometimes can slow things down too much for us. But, you know, credit when credit's due. He played well.
Yeah, he did. He played well against the opposition and put in front of him. And maybe against teams that will play us like this, he's the right guy to use there. And when teams run at us like Chelsea did or some other teams have done earlier in the year, maybe it's just got to be somebody else.
Yeah, I don't know. But I mean,
and credit to him, because before this game and his other two, he had like two sub appearances before this where he was pretty well. He played really well too. Yeah.
You know, it's hard for a player who gets criticized so harshly and has games. I mean, I'm sure he knows that he doesn't, you know, he's not lighting the place on fire in certain games. It takes a lot of mental capacity. It says a lot about your character to come back and just, you know, and put in a good performance after so many not good ones.
Yeah, it does.
Well, maybe that's a little bit credit to the manager who keeps him, you know, keeps him focused and mm-hmm. keeps him up. But, you know, I'm sure most people will just say Wenger's shit and doesn't know how to handle players.
Well, and what, like, I'm not his biggest fan. I don't think he's a crap player.
He's not a crap player. He's a good player. He might not be a world beater, but he's a good player.
He's very industrious. One thing I would like to see all of our players work as hard as he does in most matches. You know, that's one thing you have to give him credit. It's one thing that we love about Jenkinson, that he's such a hard-working player, and he gets back, he makes tackles. You know, he does the simple things very well. I think that was Ramsey's strong point in that game, that he did the simple things well. He made good tackles. He made short passes. He made long passes. You know, he didn't slice through West Ham, but he, you know, he did his job. And credit to him.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel like we're really seeing the old Jack, though, also back. I mean, there's...
Yes, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Just his composure on the ball, and there was... he's still not perfect, obviously, but I mean, we're starting to see the form from him that made us all believe that he could be a world-class midfielder.
Well, we're starting to see some creativity, which is we've been lacking in the middle for sure, right?
Right, and that's something that he always had, you know, coming up with us.
Yeah, there were so many factors with him coming back. I mean, and he said it himself, he's playing with the all-new midfield, and that had to factor in, and maybe now we're seeing them adapt to each other and kind of get used to playing together.
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of it was rust, though, too. I mean, it just felt like it's just taken him a little while, but it really... He seems to be in the flow of things, and it seems as if it feels finally now that he is back and like in full stride,
right?
You know, but then you're also worried, right? How many was this 10 matches in a row for him that he started?
Yeah, I assume he'll get a rest this weekend.
Will he?
I mean, a lot of people got to get rest. I mean, I assume
you would hope so, but what the fuck happened last time we played a lower division? We played a full strength.
Fuck that! I mean, I want to.
We have to.
We got to rest these players. We got another midweek game.
That's right. Who do we face midweek?
Are Brighton in a higher division than Bradford?
Don't we have Liverpool?
Oh, do we?
We have Liverpool on Wednesday.
Yeah.
In the league?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Fuck me.
Yeah. So there has to be rotation.
There needs to be rotation, but yet, right? I mean, what's going to happen, right? Any non-favorable result, right? You end up having to get a replay.
I'm guessing Diaby will get another rest for against Brighton.
He should
come back to Liverpool.
He should. We just don't have many other midfield options. You start Ramsey again.
Yeah.
Right.
Ramsey starts. Yeah. I mean, well, I guess
we. But we don't have. Yeah, we don't have any of the fucking midfielders. But
we have. Yeah, we can use a youth guy.
We could. Hey, guess what?
Marks is injured. Nabry is injured.
No, man, Chucks is back, dude. Just came back from loan.
Get a full game.
No, I said Nabry.
No, I know. I'm not talking about Nabry because he's injured. He's not important right now. I'm saying Chucks just came back from loan from Crew.
Oh.
Bring him on.
Well, I mean.
Would make Joaquin happier than to see Chucks starting this week.
He's pinning his horse to him. Right?
I'd rather see Chucks come on than the Dench man.
He's his deal. Well,
Frimpong was on the bench.
There you go. It'll be Frimpong, Ramsey.
When did Arshavin get fat?
As soon as the Euros were over.
No, he did not. He was skinny at the beginning of the season.
Well,
he was skinny.
He was still skinny, but, I mean, how in shape was he during the Euros? He looked great physically.
Yeah.
Physically.
He was lean in the beginning of the season. I was like, wow, he's skinny. I was like, that's why I was like, well, let's play his ass.
He
looks
been on holiday for fucking 5 months.
Yeah.
Fuck, man. Portly little bastard.
So there's the answer as to why he's not being used.
He'll start in front of Podolski.
Arshavin gets a game in the FA Cup? No.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing.
I don't know, man. Jenkinson finally gets a game?
You would hope so, right?
You would hope, so, but
Santos gets a game
in bad form.
I don't know. Yeah. You would. Once again, you would hope, but what if they do that now and we fucking lose to Brighton?
I don't give a shit.
You don't give a shit? A lot of people do.
Look, you don't give a shit if we lose to Brighton?
No, I'm saying at the risk of finishing fourth. Yeah, I mean, I think here's the thing:
fourth is not a trophy, Joseph.
Fuck that. It is when you go tell not qualifying. I mean, we talk about you made such the point about what Chelsea were able to do by winning and qualifying for the Champions League this summer.
Yes, I know.
I'll point out.
Yes,
but
I agree.
I think I think with the people that even I just named, we should be able to beat that team.
We should, and we should be able to beat Bradford.
Well, right. We should have been able to beat Bradford, and we had a full fucking team out there that day.
Right. Well.
Hopefully, there's been a fire lit up the ass of in the dressing room.
Well, there should be.
After a 5-1 win, you expect confidence to be flowing like, you know.
A 5-1 win, like your young star signs a new contract, things are on the up and up. You know what they could use
is
the balance of a fucking new signing so they could be excited about, like, oh my God, you know, even if the signing isn't playing, right?
Wow, we're coming down to the end of it, huh, boys?
It's
time
the last
to strap in.
Week.
5 days.
Saving the goddamn Arsene Wenger's fucking economics degree is the worst thing for Arsenal.
He is a master of Kenyan microeconomics.
He was getting ready to write a check, but Pardew stole all the French players, so we can't sign anybody.
Yeah, that's it. They've used up the quota, right? They won't allow another Frenchman through customs.
Right, that's it. That's the limit.
All those guys. That's why he did it, just out of scorn for Wenger. I'm going to take every French player I can get.
Go ahead. Enjoy taking the championship, you fucking prick.
Oh, man. What if they get relegated? That'd be
fantastic.
Yeah, they get relegated.
I wouldn't be happy with it because I don't mind. I mean, I think Newcastle's great to have in the league. But I don't like Pardew, so he can suck it.
Yeah, I got no love
with
for
with his six-year contract and shit.
Eight-year.
Eight-year.
Oh, right.
It's like an eight-year rolling contract. It's like a...
But he can get terminated at any point.
Yeah, and then
he only gets
1 year
payoff
or something.
Severance,
so it's
not guaranteed.
It's
like
giving
me like a baseball
contract.
Oh, ridiculous! Oh, so let's get to So the thing is, we have 1 week left.
One week left.
Oh, so we're talking about
zero players signed.
Hold on to your butt.
Well, I mean, there's two. There's many views, right? There's like, fuck, we're not signing you. You know, at all.
Right.
Or we're all hoping they're just working on it. And for once, and first time since social media has really blown up, that it's actually being kept quiet. That's what we're hoping for.
That's what we'd hope. I mean, it's been a rather quiet season. You know, there hasn't been much in terms of rumors. Which is kind of which is worrying
because they're not even stopped making up rumors for the last 2 weeks.
They just ran out of shit they could say
because for the first
there's nothing to feed
for the first 2 weeks of January there was a lot. I mean, how many did we go through? We've gone through Cavani and Villa and Lopez and
Adrian
and Ba before he was signed to Chelsea. I mean, we went through all of those names in 2 weeks, and now they don't know what to make up anymore.
Diame.
Right. Every strong midfielder they've gone through.
Yeah.
Wanyama, yeah.
Yeah, there's been all sorts. But now it's still curious because no one can look at the squad and say it doesn't need reinforcing.
Right.
You know?
No,
And there's people who are worried that, like, after on the back of a good result, like, of course, like, they can find an asshole on anything, right? Like, it's a good result. Wenger won't buy now. And, like, you don't want to hear those excuses. But we have heard those excuses before. Players coming back.
You certainly can't blame the fans. You know, we've seen it before.
Right.
He got rid of two players for a reason.
He did. And that's good. And I'm glad he freed that up, which kind of meant that, all right, business could be happening now.
Right.
But it's going to come down to...
It's going to be late.
But the fucked up thing is that, like, even if those players hadn't been able to play in many matches this month, like, just the bounce it could have given us, you know? Say you sign anyone, David Villa, before the fucking Chelsea match or before, you know, something a week or two ago, you know, it could give you the bounce. You'd be riding the wave of a new signing and Theo's new contract.
What we always say is it's got it, but that other club has to be willing to sell. Yes, and they've got to be willing to push for the move.
Right. And we're also not willing to pay the price that it would take to get the guy up front without having to fucking haggle to the last second. Because that's what we do, and that's what Arson does.
This is what's become of Flashers now. You know, it's a three-party, I understand
His wanting to get the best deal and do the best for the club and for the player, but the problem
maybe
is
not the best, but maybe reasonable.
Reasonable. But the thing
but
the is that like
got to be reasonable on the other.
But you look at how many points we dropped this month, so far, right? And let's just say maybe it could have made a difference in one, maybe two matches. Maybe it's a draw that turns into a win. Maybe a loss turns into a win. So maybe it's four, five points gained in a month. I mean, that could, in the end, at the end of the season, could end up being the telling difference. So,
and not to mention, you know, the reluctancy to spend money, you know, eventually ends up costing you Champions League qualification, which
that's what I'm saying. Those 5 points could be that difference,
but it hasn't yet.
Not yet.
But wait, this is what I was. My theory is that Wenger just loves this, and he's playing. This is transfer chicken, and he's got this shit on a board.
Fuck you and Wenger.
It's just a transfer chicken, and that's what he's playing. And he's going to keep doing this until he can turn the car just at the last minute.
Last second.
And we hope, I hope he can still jerk that car one more time.
I'm sure he can jerk that chicken.
He'll jerk that chicken. You know, I don't know.
I have a feeling he's ready to go off the cliff this time. He's going straight for it.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, every year for me, it's always the same. You know, would we have been happy? I mean, people keep throwing like Diame's name out. Would we have been happy in August if that was the name?
Would we be happy with it now?
I wouldn't.
I'm not that excited.
Okay, yeah. There's another strong. That's a strong player. Okay, but I doubt that's his first choice. No. I want his first choice.
Yeah.
Right.
Hell, even a second, but I don't want to end up with the fourth down the line again, which we know we have.
Right.
So, and maybe that's what he's holding out for. He wants his first choice. And would you rather have Diame now because he couldn't get his first choice, so he goes to someone like Diame, or do we wait till summer?
I don't know. I mean, they need depth, right? I mean, all right. So let's agree on something. How many people are going to come in?
Two max.
Two max. Right? How do you feel, Luis? Two?
I'm going to say one for sure. I'm 90% sure one will come.
Now, what's the...
I'm about 20% sure two will come.
Thank you for breaking it down. 40% of the time, you'll be 100% right about that. Sorry, I meant statistics, so I just want to make a bunch of bullshit.
Wengernomics, man.
Wengernomics.
Yeah. All right. Well, so here's the thing. What is the one position that needs strengthening most? Is it midfield or is it striker?
Well, we were just talking about we don't have midfielders for this game.
Well, right. But I'm telling you striker, one or the other.
We only, in our current formation, we only need one central striker. We have Giroud who can play striker, Theo who can play centrally. Gervinho's coming back from Cup of Nations at the end of the month. I know no one wants to hear his name, but technically he's striker. Podolski can play centrally. We have guys who can, you know, shift in and out of center forward.
We only have one guy whose best position is center forward.
Yes.
We only have one player now that Shamaka's gone whose best position is center forward.
Well, yes, but when we look at it as a as the entire club, and we have to think longer than the 5 months that are left in the season or 4 months that are left in the season – June 1, we have like five.
Right.
Five?
Four.
Who else are you counting?
You have Giroud. You have Shamak. Bentner's still under contract.
Yes.
I mean, as a club, you got to look at all of them. We can't just
sign
another player on a long-term contract.
Yes, we certainly can.
They're not going
to. Other teams do it.
Teams.
Fucking City. A stable of forwards. Stable of strikers. United has a stable of strikers. They have four fucking strikers. We have one.
We have four on the books.
Fuck them. All right, that are at the club right now. All right. Let's not count Bentner. Let's not count Shamak because they're off. And they are basically dead to the squad. They're dead to the squad.
Right.
Yes?
Right.
Yes.
So who's out there that you want long term?
Anybody.
Right.
Someone who scores goals.
Fucking Recall Park then. Shit.
He's been scoring for Celta here and there. The shitty thing with that, I mean, is that we do need a striker.
And it doesn't. So you think it's striker? That's the position you think it. Where if Luis says 80% or 90%, 20% of the time, we're only bringing one player in. Yeah. So if you get one player, you want a striker above anything, above any other position, you want a striker.
I want an attacking player, whether it be. I don't think that it necessarily needs to be a center forward, but it does need to be someone who can play center forward. You know that's why when we talked about this before, I felt like a player of the mold of like a David Villa or an Adrian what makes sense to me because they can play. They're kind of a number nine kind of striker. I mean, not the classical English number nine that Giroud kind of is, but kind of, you know, the quicker, pacier striker. But these are also guys you could line up wide on a front three also, which would give us flexibility. It gives us depth on the wings and also gives us depth up front because unlike some of the other winger come strikers that we have, like Theo, some of these guys have actually played striker for the majority of their career. So it makes more sense. We see David Villa play on the wing for the wing of the front three for Barcelona. We see Adrián do the same thing, playing off the main striker at Atletico and also leading the line on his own on occasion, especially right now with Falcao out. So that's the one position for me that if I had to pick one, yes, that's what I would take. But I think we need a midfielder and a striker.
What about you, Luis? If you said there's only one, so what one position would you say we have to have for that one player?
I would say I would stay with center midfielder simply because the role of holding midfielder was never filled properly. We were kind of with the Band-Aid there with Arteta, and now he goes down, and now we're using Diaby in that position, our most physically fragile player. In our most physically demanding position, it's going to come down.
No Coq. You
know, I like him. I love Lecoq. But, he doesn't seem to be able to stay fit either. He takes a beating in each game.
Lecoq takes a beating.
He's fucking worn out, that guy.
Yeah. They like to beat that Coq. He's one of these players that's very skilled and fast. So he cuts and moves, and that gets him fouled a lot.
He finds the gashes a lot.
Yeah, he's
a gash player.
He's a gasher.
Yeah, he likes to play in that hole. But I think we need a player there that's a lot more reliable, physically stronger, and. And as we were talking about leading into the Brighton game, and we're talking about rotation, and you know we can't name players that play in the midfield. That said, you know the targets that have been thrown out there, very few of them make any sense that Arsenal would actually go for. I think an attacking player is more of a realistic expectation. But I don't think he'll sign two players. I'm almost certain he'll sign one player.
I'm praying for one in like the next by the weekend. You know,
I think what you said is important too, like the versatility of a player, because you know sometimes we still struggle to break teams down, and you know when we don't, like you said, don't move the ball fast enough through the midfield. And it would be nice to have kind of an ace in sleeve, you know, a player that can kind of give you something different.
A striker off the bench, maybe?
Like David Villa. Whoa.
Well, let's not get carried away.
Striker on the bench?
Easy, Tiger.
What's that going to change?
Yeah.
How are you going to change the game with that?
Yeah. How's that going to help you break teams down and score?
We could have had Thierry for the past 3 weeks, now that I think about it, right?
I was scared that he would come back because I don't want him to tarnish his legacy.
I was worried about it last time.
Yeah, I was really worried about it last time, and he proved me wrong, which was great to see.
He done did it. Yeah, he did well.
Arshavin's last good game.
Arshavin's last good game. He played let's not even talk about him. Why even waste time on that poor
fucker
little...
still just collecting a check. That's all he's doing.
He seemed to be the only player playing comfortably in the snow, though, on Sunday. I will say that.
Yeah, he is at home.
He had a smile on his face even.
He's a tough motherfucker.
Yes, like home.
You know, he is like, you know, remember watching when we first got him, he'd like take the nastiest challenge, he just gets up.
Mm-hmm.
He has some of that Russian toughness.
I miss that player. I remember that guy. Yeah. I miss that
player. Is that the guy that used to beat people? Like he'd take people on and he'd beat them?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is it that guy?
Nah, fuck that guy.
It's like he's been watching Gervinho lately on that fucking wing.
So what do you do with Gervinho? Put him in Ivory Coast colors and he scores some great goals?
Make sure underneath that's what he wears.
Right.
Right, because they wear that super skin-tight stuff anyway.
Yeah.
So let him wear it underneath.
Was he, like an extra schmedium?
Let him wear it like underarm.
He's tiny.
He's a bony little bitch.
You know, going back to Gervinho and even as great as yesterday's result was, there's still people not happy with this. I can't understand people still not being happy that a player that plays for your club scored, whether you think it was a great goal or not. It was a good, well-taken goal, especially for him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
People are still like, fuck him. You know, or no, they're still not happy.
It's good for us.
They're still not happy at watching us score 5 goals, you know, and 4 goals in 11 minutes. It's just like some people are never fucking. If it makes you that miserable,
then fuck them.
Then stop fucking watching.
Well, if they want to be that miserable, you know.
If it doesn't bring you any joy, why are you doing it anymore? Why are you watching? Go fuck yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't understand it.
Yeah, exactly. Enjoy that. What can you do? So you think we're actually going to sign 2 players, though, Joseph?
I don't know anymore. I mean, I thought we really would.
I thought so, too.
I thought we would.
He's got time, though. I mean, he's had games every 3 days for the last 4 weeks.
Where does he find time? Come on, man.
Oh, you're talking about our scouting network? Dick Law and Ivan Gassidis?
Look, if they want to negotiate, they're going to negotiate. There's no fucking – it doesn't matter. All the other teams play matches too. Manchester United, Chelsea, they're all playing matches every 3 days.
They signed any players?
Has anybody signed anybody?
Well, all right. Maybe not this window. There's been much action, but it's not like they haven't done it before. Yeah, it's not like it affects them. Like they can't negotiate
off
hours.
They have a different mentality than us. They see a player they like, they ask if he's available, they offer a cash price, and boom, it's done. Our process requires a lot more time.
That might be an oversimplification, but yes, I know they're much more willing to throw money at it to get rid of the particulars, and yet we haggle because that's what we do.
Exactly. And, you know, with recent revelations, we now know how involved Arsene is in transfers and wage dealings and all that. So
he,
we know
he runs
for
the
a
show,
fact.
Man. He does everything.
We
does
know for everything. A fact that he has to be there for that to happen. Then how is he going to be there if he's at trainings, if he's at, you know, at
They
trips?
Make fucking time. They make time. I'm not worried about that. I don't think that's holding up. I don't think that's holding up any negotiations, you know? I know his comment at the end of his press conference that, like, oh, I got to go. I got business to do, you know? But that's just him taking the piss out of everybody.
Man,
he always plays close to the chest, always.
Yeah. And he has to. I understand it because look what happens. When anyone sniffs our interest in a player, Juan Mata, you know?
Then someone
comes in and throws more money at it. They're like, hey, this is how you scout for Chelsea or Manchester City. Follow Arsenal scouts. See who they're scouting. Offer more money.
Well,
I use this as an agent. You want to play Arsenal? Let me call Chelsea.
Yeah. Let me text Roman.
I read a story once that a Juve scout was noticing that an Inter Milan scout was doing that, and he scouted a shit player, and he asked his agent about him. When he did that, the Inter Milan scout did it too, and Inter Milan ended up signing that shit player. And the Juve scout later on said, yeah, I did that
on purpose, right?
And it should be
we did that to Inter with Ricky Alvarez.
Yeah.
Suckers!
Worked out well for you, didn't it?
How well is that... United must be kicking themselves by letting that Pogba go.
Pogba? Well, that wasn't their choice. He was running down his contract.
No, I know, but
yeah,
they weren't able to tie him down.
Right, this is true, and they're United. You
right,
know? That's surprising. That just shows you the will of the player, man. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes players are cunts. You know,
especially the young players, the ones that get
What is your reason to leave United? I guess he wasn't getting much first team opportunities. But still,
I mean,
But, I mean, you're at a club of the stature United. What the fuck are you going to leave for, even for you?
Ask Giovanni Dos Santos why he left Barcelona for Tottenham.
Well, the other...
He got tired of... He
got tired of winning?
When he first came around.
He got tired of winning.
Yeah. He got tired of standing up there not earning... Getting a medal and not earning it, I guess.
Yeah, go figure. Well, let's move on to... we'll preview the match of the weekend, I guess, in a minute, the week ahead. But let's cover it. There's some interesting happenings in the League Cup. We're seeing the Capital One Cup getting an interesting final. Between, you know, the giant killers that are Bradford, who whooped our ass, handled Aston Villa, much to the chagrin of Matt Law.
Prick.
Much to our enjoyment. And
I tweeted him.
He loves trolling us and the fans, the Arsenal fans. But man, he is a little pussy when you give it back to him.
Yeah, I mean, he said fair play to everyone after it the other day. But I mean, you know, he was saying that with a.
I tweeted him. I was like, "How's your day?" That's all I said.
But so there wasn't much to talk about from that match per se, other than the fact that Bradford held on and got the result. But then there's the Swansea Chelsea match, right?
Seemed pretty boring. Was it draw?
Yeah,
it's
no little draw.
Boring,
not much
nothing
exciting.
Really going on.
The only exciting thing was what some Belgian cunt kicked some undersized 17-year-old.
Yeah,
undersized.
Do you see the size of that kid? Like, I thought he was like a 12 or 14-year-old.
I thought he was 12.
Yeah,
I swear.
When I saw him, I thought he was like maybe 13, 14. I thought middle school. I thought middle school. Know. And they said he's 17 years old. I'm like, God damn, I did not look like that. I was
he's not a little pussy tiny.
When I was 17.
It looks so much worse without all the other explanation, which I'm sure is why they pushed all that information out there, right? Because it looked like he was 11 years old. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. But, I mean, he also sat there and play-acted like a little footballer, you know? I mean, you watch him, like, turning and looking and pointing and clutching his side. I mean, he's learned from – I feel like he's been watching Suarez, you know?
I thought he was watching Busquets.
He was dead on. Yeah, he's got Premier League level diving talent, you know. I mean,
what is a 17-year-old doing
as
a ball boy?
Well, I guess he gave it up during the summer. What I read was he gave it up during the summer, but there was a ball boy that got sick, so he filled in. That's what I heard.
He's a ball boy backup.
He's the
backup. Who would be a backup ball boy?
Well, I think he's the son of.
He's the son of somebody.
He's the son of like of one of the owner that owns part of the club. I think.
Well,
I read more today, but beyond, I mean, that's the explanation for it. But watching it, I don't care if he got all ball or not.
Right.
What the fuck are you doing?
With that last kick, I don't think he got any of the ball. he got all his ribs.
I think he hit both. I think his foot. Kicked the ball. I think his shin caught him in the ribs.
Is that right up there with that Houston Dynamo player calling that little kid a faggot?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I don't remember hearing about this. I have to look this.
You don't remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah, there was a Houston Dynamo player. The ball boy threw the ball probably 5 yards away from him towards the field instead of chucking it up to him. And the Houston player,
send us a video of this. That's good. That's rich. So, but it leaves us with quite the epic Capital One Cup final, right? Hey, Capital One, right? What's in your wallet?
Epic.
Not much with this final on the cards.
Epic, because if Swansea qualify for Europa League through league position, Bradford City, a fourth tier cup club. Could be playing in Europa League next season.
Well, if they win it,
would be epic. Because if you think about some of the clubs that might qualify for Europa League, us included, that might be pretty interesting.
That'd be impressive. It'd be a good story. I'll be rooting for Bradford in that final. I mean, I won't have any problems with Swansea winning. You know, I think the football they played has deserved it. So it'll be interesting to see.
And Swansea will put out a strong side for it, you know.
Oh, they'll put out full strength.
They'll put a full strength side. Bradford will be up for it. And, you know, it's awesome watching teams like that play in finals because, you know, they have nothing to lose. They're just glad to be there.
Yeah, it could be good. I think it'll be good for many a neutral, and it could be a good game. I mean, I hope Bradford will bring their A game because we've seen some really good football from them. I mean, it'd be pretty exciting.
I'm over the Swansea love affair, so
yeah,
I could see them lose. It's fine with me.
Oh, I could give a shit, really.
But I'm over the how wonderful they are. I hope they fucking lose.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. Let's go, Bradford.
I hope Nietzsche scores the winner. I hope he chips their center back and then runs through on goal.
Yeah.
I hope he breaks his foot.
It's good karma.
I'm over that shit. I mean, every year it's, you know, everybody has to fall in love with some other team. I'm over. It's over. I'm over. Yeah. It's done. It's January. Over. It's time. I only care about our club.
For a good team that plays quote-unquote great football, they have a tendency to fall off in the second half of games. Just they kind of did that against us.
Yeah. Well, that's going
to
happen.
I'm at the point where it's, you know, I'm ready to gnaw my arm off and get the fuck out. Right.
One other thing I wanted to address was it looks like the special one's time is coming to an end in La Liga.
No.
You're just worried about his destination? Is that why?
Well, are you worried about his destination?
Well, didn't you guys hear?
No, I never hear.
He's headed to the Emirates.
Oh.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here.
Because that's a match made in heaven, right?
Yeah, this guy is
can you imagine?
A man that's inherited.
I'm not even going to entertain that for a second. We're done with that.
Can you imagine him in a press conference talking about how ownership and the board isn't giving him any money? That would go over really well.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's not going to happen. But I think this is pretty typical of his.
His welcome is worn out.
Yeah, I mean he comes, he conquers, and he leaves in shit. He leaves in shambles. Right? I mean, so
blows up the bridges.
Yeah, that's it. Just fuck it, right? Let's build for now, and then the rest.
Like,
that's your
it's
fucking
like
problem.
Out of Vietnam, just blowing up the bridges as you go, just because you're leaving.
That's it.
He's just here to rock and roll, and that's it.
He's blowing it up. I mean, obviously, Florentino Perez came out today and said that, you know, that there was no such demands made by him by the players because, you know, the alleged thing was that Sergio Ramos and Iker Casillas, amongst other senior team members, came in and said it's either him or us in the summer, that either he goes or we go. And, I mean, I don't think that there's, you know, I think where there's smoke, there's fire. You know, it might not be as dramatic as they're saying it is, but it's pretty clear they've had open bust-ups, Sergio Ramos and Iker Casillas, with Mourinho. These are and those two players specifically are kind of the face of Madrid because they're the only real Spanish stars on that team.
Right.
I mean, Xabi Alonso is the other one, right? But I mean, that's. But I'm saying of like those two maybe or those three are the only three Spanish Real Madrid players that are ever present in the starting 11 over the past couple major tournaments. You know, that's kind of the face of their team. That's their Spanish core.
Right.
And if these are the guys that are upset with him, you know, and they're the face of your organization, one is your captain. Another one, it wouldn't surprise you that after Iker, it might be Sergio Ramos to be the captain of that team next.
Yeah.
You know, commanding center back, still young in his prime and whatnot. That this is obviously the club will and should, I think rightly so, side with the players in that because, you know, Jose knows how to wear out his welcome, you know, and he's obviously kind of a guy that you're all with him or, you know, or he can turn things sour pretty quickly.
His ego is such that, you know, like you said, if you're not with him from the beginning and all the way through, the second you lose him, you're done. You're out. You know, Iker got benched.
Ramos got dropped for a couple matches too.
Yeah, he did. You know, and there was reports of bust up, you know, last season too when they won the league, and. It doesn't surprise me. Nothing surprises me with Mourinho now.
You know, winning.
But it was
everything.
Bad. Like, I mean, if half the rumors were true, I mean, there was rumors of Ramos like throwing a ball at him and yelling at him, telling him, "Oh, you never played. You don't know."
Well, look,
you know,
man, winning fixes everything. When they were winning the league last year, you know what I mean? That
right,
crosses
exactly.
over all sorts of shit. Now, 15 points behind Barcelona. Now the fucking shitstorm begins. People start. Right. Flinging poo all over that locker room, right? Like a bunch of fucking rabid monkeys.
Getting all over those white
kids. All over those not so whites. You know?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm having a good mental picture right now. Those guys jumping up and down like chimpanzees.
Throwing shit at each other.
Shit. Some of them are easier to picture like that than others.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. But I don't know, man. It's going to be – I don't know. There could be big changes. Who knows?
Where does he go?
Where does he go?
Yeah. The big question for most Madrid fans city? Is what's going to happen to Ronaldo.
I mean, right. That's what I was going to say.
He seems to have given up too.
I certainly would think that if some players have given up on Mourinho, I don't think Ronaldo is one of them.
Yeah.
It seems to me that he knows that he's his guy.
Yeah, but I think their futures are very much depending on each other.
I concur because, you know, Mourinho leaves to go somewhere. Maybe Cristiano leaves to go to PSG.
It only leaves like three teams he can go to.
Yeah, there really are.
He's got the money to buy him.
United can't even buy him back, you know?
Right.
I mean, if he came to England, he could go to Chelsea or to City. And I, for some reason, I don't think he'll go to City.
He wouldn't. I don't think he would.
His name's not Judy Van Cuntface. So.
Yeah, he wouldn't go to a rival.
He knows he's going to get it no matter where he goes. He wouldn't go to City. I could see him playing going to PSG, though, for sure.
Yeah, I guess, but...
I don't know. You throw enough money at him.
Fucking league.
Throw enough money, 400K a
he's
week.
He's too good for that league.
Right? Yeah, he is, but so is Zlatan, and so is a bunch of the guys on PSG, but go figure.
Yeah. I guess so. I mean... he's already going to get the money no matter where he goes. Does he need to go there?
I don't know. It's tough to say.
I don't think we're wasting our time. For a club that doesn't care about finances like Manchester United, I mean, I don't think they could even swing it.
I said they can't buy him back, you know. The only reason they've made deals in the past couple of years is because of the money that they had off him. That's been
who
it.
Does that? Who sells their best player for a lot of money and lives off it for years?
Yeah, we only live off it for 1 year until we sell our next best player. So we can't even go there. Well, let's preview the weekend, guys. We're playing Brighton. We're playing away.
The mighty Brighton.
Score prediction? I'm not even going to talk tactics or anything. Just give me a score.
Prediction?
2-0.
2-0?
2-0 win away. It's a good FA Cup away.
Yeah.
Result.
I'm gonna go with Clipper Lang. Prediction?
Pain. Just waiting. All right.
Yeah.
So what'll be
I'm gonna go with
3-1.
3-1.
Well, fuck me sideways. You just took my prediction, so now I gotta alter my shit.
It's still a 2-goal lead.
Well, right, I'll go 3-0 since I was gonna
clean cheat. All right.
Clean cheat. What
clean
is
cheat,
what is
man?
Even? Is that a country?
Yeah. No shit. So you're feeling good? We should get it done.
Man, I'm not really worried about it.
I'm not worried about it. I think they learned their lesson from Bradford. I think someone said that in an interview, too. I think Calcione said that. They know they can't take this team lightly, no matter what side goes up. No matter.
Yeah, they beat Newcastle 2-0 in the last round. You know, I mean, they're a respectable lower division side. I mean, they got to we know they're going to be up for the match.
That was before the French Revolution over at Newcastle, though. So.
Mm-hmm.
Right. True.
I heard we're going to have to take our passports. The players are going to have to take their passports when we go to Newcastle. Every game, every Newcastle match now is going to be a European away game.
Oh, yeah. I
all you should do is take Germans against them and the French will fold, man.
Yes, take all four of our Germans. Oh, wait, aren't we supposed to be buying two other Germans, too?
That shit ain't going to happen.
By the end of this transfer window, we could be 6 British and 6 Germans. Who would have thunk it? Oh, my gosh.
I don't know, man. I don't have any faith in any of the Germans coming in. There's no reason for any of those Dortmund players to leave. Not right now. Not
no way.
Not in the least.
Not when they're doing so well in Champions League.
Seriously.
Well, it's been a good week. You know, we've seen some favorable things happen. Hopefully by next week we'll have a transfer deadline day podcast, I believe, right? Because next Thursday, we'll have a
deadline day live with Joseph reporting on the scene.
We will promote from within.
Oh, damn it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because we'll be on it right after the deadline. Right
after the deadline.
Right,
so we'll hopefully be reporting on a running riot over a team that plays in red.
Yeah. Oh, God. Scouse preview, too? we will tear them apart.
I hope so.
We will see. So it should be good. So we'll have a deadline day cast.
Mm-hmm.
Some good stuff to go over then. Hopefully glorious, basking in the afterglow of a delicious victory over Liverpool. And celebrating a couple signings.
Yeah.
Right? That'll be good.
20% sure.
20% certain, 40% of the time.
Right.
60% of the time it works every time.
There you go. Now you're getting the hang of these statistics things here, Luis. Well done. Well, thank you for joining me, gentlemen. You can follow these lovely fellas on Twitter at I Hate Your Club and follow Luis out at SD Goon. And look forward to the next podcast after the transfer deadline.
So, thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, always a pleasure, Luis.
Buenas noches, muchachos.
Buenas noches. And to a glorious Festivus weekend. It's not Festivus, but I mean a weekend of, let's see, well, I was going to say 6 points, but, you know, a cup victory and maybe a beating the Scousers. Be nice.
I'd love that.
Let's reconvene after that.
One of those is more important than the other.
One is more important than the other, but I don't know, man. It's not a trophy. It's not a trophy. We'll see. All right. Until then, thanks, guys.